Blog Talk Radio. Good evening. Good evening to everyone. Welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. It is July the 12th, year of our Lord 2022, and you're listening to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I'm glad you have joined us tonight. Of course, you know that First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina, where we are now having in-person services. You are cordially invited to come and be a part of the services of First Baptist of Holly Springs. Our services start each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. 10 a.m., we are in the sanctuary at First Baptist, and you are cordially invited to come and be a part of the services. Of course, we are observing social distancing. We are making sure that we wear our face covering, and we are taking temperatures at the door. However, you are cordially invited to come and be a part of the rich religious experience that is First Baptist of Holly Springs. Of course, you know that there are four ways you can give to the house of God. Or you can come to the church on Sunday morning. Our services, again, starts at 10 a.m. You can come and bring your tithes and offerings into the church, or you can mail them. Go to the Facebook page and find the correct mailing address for that. You can also come by the church between the hour of 10 and 11:30 and drop off your tithes and offering. Trustees are available to make sure that all of your financial needs are met. And you can also use the Cash App. We do have a Cash App. Those letters, capital FBCHS, FBCHS, that stands for First Baptist Church, Holly Springs. You can be a supporter of the house of God tonight. I want to invite you to go to our Facebook page. Go there. Don't forget to like and then share. First Baptist Church, Holly Springs, North Carolina. Go there. On that Facebook page, you will find more information about First Baptist. You'll find the link for the Bible study, which you are listening to right now. If you would like to call in, you can call in. That call-in number is area code 845-241-9839. Area code 845-241-9839. You can call that number and you can be a part of the Bible study. Also, on the Facebook page, you not only will find the link for the Bible study, but you'll be able to see our Sunday morning service. As I said before, we do go live every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on Facebook. So you can see First Baptist of Holly Springs Sunday morning services on Facebook. So we invite you to go there. You'll find more information about the Wake Baptist Association and the General Baptist State Convention of North Carolina. So go to the Facebook page, go there, be a part of the First Baptist of Holly Springs community. We would love to hear from you. I want to thank the Missionary Department of First Baptist for a wonderful program on last Sunday. We had a great program celebrating the missionaries of First Baptist. And of course, one of the things that we talked about is the fact that every member is a missionary. There may be a missionary board in your church, but each member is called upon by God to do the work of a missionary. So we are all missionaries. But I want to thank those who work so diligently in the house of God to make sure that the missionary board was well represented on last Sunday, and for all the work that you're doing in the missionary field. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for another night of Bible study, another night that we can come and break the bread of life. We ask now, God, that as we go into this Bible study, that you will steady our hearts, steady our minds, make us receptive to the word. We thank God that you did not leave us without a word. In times like this, we can go to the word and we can find comfort for our soul. So we thank you, God, for leaving us the word tonight, that we're able to go into the scripture and find that very important knowledge and wisdom that you have left for us. Father, we pray for those who are on the sick list, those who are in the hospital, those who are locked behind prison bars. They may be locked up, but they're certainly not locked out. So God, we pray that your mercy and your grace will cover us all, that we will continue to be the people that you have called us to be. This we ask in your precious name. Amen and amen. Our lesson tonight is a continuation of what we were doing on last Tuesday night. We're in the book of Leviticus, Leviticus 24, Leviticus 24. Last Tuesday night, we were in this same chapter, and we were dealing with the man who had blasphemed, who had been stoned. If you did not hear that lesson, or if you were not part of that lesson on last week, we invite you to go back to the Facebook page and find the lesson that says a blasphemer stoned, and listen to that lesson. That was first part of this lesson for tonight. So we move further on in the book of Leviticus, the 24th chapter of Leviticus. We're going to start in the 17th verse, and we're going to work our way down through the 23rd verse. Leviticus 24 and 17. If you have watched if you're looking at the article that I put up before concerning our lesson tonight, then you will know that this lesson tonight is called the Lord's or God's Justice, or the Lord's Justice. Justice means that someone is always concerned with two things. They're concerned with being right, and they're concerned with being fair. Justice means always doing what is morally right and what is fair. That's how you likely want to be treated by others whenever there is a problem. You want them to do what's right, and you want them to do what's fair. Our God always acts with fair and justice. It is the natural expression of his holiness. Remember, we said that God's holiness always sets him apart from anything that is sinful or evil. The Bible says that God hates sin and has declared that sin is wrong and must be punished by death. Since everyone has sinned, everyone is declared guilty of sin by God's justice. We must remember that. So when we talk about the justice of God, we're talking about the justice of God that is fair and that is equal. So tonight I want to go through this lesson kind of fast because I want to talk to the people that are on the line. I got about 7 or 8 people on the line tonight, and I have some very important questions that I want to address tonight with this lesson. Let's go, first of all, to the scripture. Let's go to Leviticus 24, verse 17. This is a continuation from the last lesson last week. Again, that lesson was called A Blasphemer Stoned. This lesson is called The Lord's Justice. It says in that 17th verse, "And he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death. The Lord had earlier given this same command to the Israelites as well to any other stranger who lived among them." You'll find this in Exodus 21 and 2. Now, because of this incident involving the man who blasphemed God, the Lord repeated that commandment saying, "And he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death." This law given by God also reveals that he is impartial. The word or the pronoun he does not mean just men. It refers to any person, man or woman. As the creator of life, God has always valued human life. After the great flood, when life on earth had a new start, one of the first laws God gave to Moses governing human life was whosoever sheddeth a man's blood by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. See, since God created man in his own image, giving him a personality, he upholds man's accountable for how he or she deals with human life. However, we must take note that God is not talking about personal revenge, but he is giving his people guidelines to apply human justice. Even the stoning of the man that was done earlier was done by the entire congregation of Israel, and not one person who was offended. So everyone participated in the stoning, not just one person. So when we get to verse 18, it says, "And he that killeth a beast shall make it good, beast for beast." Even though there's a great difference between humans and animals, God also gives this law to protect those who own animals. He says, "And he that killeth a beast shall make it good, beast for beast." In other words, anyone who killed animals owned by someone else had to make restitution or they had to replace it with the same type of animal. Not only did God's divine law protect human lives, it also protected their property. It was lawful for humans to kill wild animals or animals that did not belong to any particular person, but not those who were owned by someone. You see, here in that 19th verse, he makes it kind of clean, perfect. He says, and if a man causes a blemish in his neighbor, as he hath done, so shall it be done to him. The word blemish here means injury done to someone, talking about physical injury. So the Lord said that if a man caused a blemish in his neighbor or injury in his neighbor, as he hath done, so shall it be done to him. Simply put, if a man physically injures his neighbor or fellow man, whatever, the same thing should be done to him. We're going to be talking about that in just a few minutes. Now, he makes it even clearer down in verse 20, where it says, breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, as he hath caused blemish in a man, so shall it be done to him again. This verse is a continuation of the previous verse, for it extends the meaning of a blemish or a physical harm done to one's neighbor. Here, the Lord actually gives an example of what he meant in the previous verse. First, he says that the offender must return breach for breach or fracture for fracture. Next, God says, ye for eye for eye for eye, tooth for tooth. This principle was designed to prevent excess revenge. You'll find that in Genesis 4, 23, and 24, and widely expressed the truth that punishment should equal the crime. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But it seems that the principle was not always literally enforced. You'll find them Exodus 21, 18 through 19. When Jesus opposed those who used this verse as an excuse for seeking personal revenge in Matthew 5 and 38, he was not dismissing the principle that the penalty must fit the crime. Instead, he was calling on his listeners to apply the principle in light of the love commandment, which is given to us in Matthew 7 and 12, and in the full knowledge that vengeance belongs to God only. You see, much discourse has taken place about these verses that I just read to you. Some contend it is brutal and it's opposed to the New Testament ideas of love and mercy. In each case where the phrase eye for eye, tooth for tooth appears in the Old Testament Pentateuch, the verse is in a legal context. It is a principle for public justice. The penalty must fit the crime. These limitations prohibit anyone from taking out a great vengeance or having different types of penalties for different social classes. We're going to talk about that in a minute. This principle, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, was suited to the Old Testament dispensation in which the strictness of the law was revealed and that sin was deserved. But in the New Testament dispensation that we are under, the grace of the gospel and the remission of sin is revealed. Therefore, Jesus set aside this law in favor of the principle of love. Again, you'll find it in Matthew 5, 38, 45. You'll find it in Luke 6, 30, and 36. Not to prevent magistrates or judges from executing public justice, but this law was given to keep all of us from exacting revenge or personal injury instead of proper punishment. Then in verse 21, it says, he that killeth a beast, he shall restore it. And he that killeth a man, he shall be put to death. Here the Lord summarizes the case he has presented to confirm the punishment given must fit the crime. So God repeats verse 18 here in verse 21. He that killeth the beast, he shall restore it. As previously noted, animals could be killed, but not if they belong to someone. In that case, the one who killed another's animals, the Lord said he should restore it. That one who killed another man's animal had to replace it or pay for it. Then the Lord repeated what he said in verse 17, and he that killeth a man, he shall be put to death. There could be no misunderstanding because the Lord declared this divine law not once, but twice. In verse 22, 22nd verse, it says, you shall have one manner of law as well for the stranger as for one of your own country. For I am the Lord, your God. If anyone thought that this law applied to only certain people, they were wrong. God removed those thoughts when he said, you shall have one manner of law as well for the stranger as for the one of your own country. In other words, the law that God gave to the Israelites was the same law to be recognized by both stranger, foreigner, and those who lived among the Hebrews, including those who were born in Canaan, which would come into their own country. When the Lord put his stamp of approval on all that he commanded, he then said, for I am the Lord, your God, to make sure that you knew where this law came from. And then verse 23, the final verse, it says, and Moses spake to the children of Israel that they should bring forth him that had cursed out in the camp and stone him with stones. And the children of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses. This is where we go back to the last week's lesson. This is how this all took place. After God finished speaking to Moses, Moses told the people to take the one who had cursed and blasphemed in the camp and stone him with stones. And just as God and Moses had commanded, the Bible said the children of Israel obeyed, and they took the blasphemer away from where out to in front of the Israelites' camp. They took him outside of the camp and stoned him to death. In case anyone thinks that this punishment was too harsh, consider this. Is there any other penalty other than death that fits for someone who purposely defiles the most holy name known to mankind? Remember, this was not Moses' law. It was God's law. And since God is sovereign, he can do what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, and how he wants to do it. And we, as his people, must accept it. God expects us to recognize and appreciate his attributes and honor him for the holy God that he is. He is holy and just. And anyone who rejects him are not holy and just. His words and his ways can be assured that they will come true. And those who turn against him will face eternal judgment. For the Christian believer, blasphemy and using the Lord's name in vain is never an option. When speaking to others and when speaking to yourself, regardless of who they are or what they have done, we must have a holy reverence for God and honor him in all our ways. Since God's will is to receive glory for himself, we should be truly grateful when he uses us to bring glory to his name. Now, I'm going to open the lines a little early tonight because I got a question that I want to ask all of you. I got something I want to talk about tonight concerning this lesson. Lesson of God's justice, of the Lord's justice. I'm going to start with Miss Mangum. 919, last four digits, 2314. I'm going to ask you a question. You give me your answer, then tell me why you gave that answer. Are you ready?
I try my best.
Do you believe in the death penalty?
it's I'm torn between the death penalty.
All right. Explain.
Because I know the Bible said thou shalt not kill.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if we with the death penalty, we are definitely we're killing people.
Mm-hmm.
And then to me, this Old Testament, like the law we had then, like, you know, if you kill someone that, you know, you should be punished.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, some of these people that kill, they're killing people, and then they go to prison, and they just have it easy. They play basketball and do everything and stuff. They have. But I don't call that punishment really that much.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I understand. I'm somewhat like you. I'll give my opinion just later, but I feel somewhat like you.
Yes,
let's go to 919. Our last four digits 2534. You on the line?
Yes. Good evening, Pastor Rogers.
Deacon Taylor, how are you tonight?
Doing good.
Deacon Taylor, do you believe in the death penalty?
There is a part of me that is torn with that, but I should go ahead and I'll rightfully say, yes, I do. That deep down in, yes, I do, because there's so many vile acts. Like the Old Testament was saying, I know we live in the New Testament, but like the scriptures that was brought up, there was one law for one people, and everyone should go by and be held up to that law, and there's so many vile acts that person has to be. Life imprisonment is not punishment enough.
Mm-hmm.
The things that they've done cannot be reconciled or taken back or even fixed. Now, saying all that, I do believe that, you know, in the judgment day, that they will get their reward as well. But, yes, right now I do believe in the death penalty. And the main thing that makes me say that is, number one, like all the church killings, people walking into a church or a synagogue or a mosque and killing innocent, helpless people like that. Now, I'm not just limiting that to a church, to an institution of religion, but just in any situation like that. But those situations stand out the most in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so very much. Area code 757, last four digits, 5803. Are you on the line?
Yes. Good afternoon, Pastor Rogers and everyone.
Good afternoon. How are you? Good.
I'm well. How are you?
Good evening, Sherry. How are you?
Great.
Do you believe in the death penalty?
You wanted me to answer.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I don't, because again, as the Bible says, we shouldn't take a life, and to me, that's like us doing God's job and judging and taking a life. However, I do understand that people do things that are wrong, and they've possibly killed someone themselves. And you know, listening to this in Leviticus, you know, they did stone the person that had done wrong, that had blasphemed, but I don't think God wants us to take it into our own hands and do it. I think that's for him to do. But I don't know. It's hard. That's definitely a hard question. I've always gone back and forth with it.
Okay. That's all. I'm just asking because we all have different ideas. We all are torn about it, and we all have different feelings about it. Area code 609, last four digits 9126. 9126. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Pastor Rogers. Hello. Hello.
Good evening. How are you?
Hi. Good. Everyone. Hello. Same question.
Same question.
I believe I'm straddling the fence on that one. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I mean, perhaps in the Old Testament when things were different. Now, I don't believe that, you know, we should kill someone because they killed. I think people should be in a different position to be rehabilitated. I know the jailhouse is full, but I personally today don't think it should be an eye for an eye.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That's good. That's your opinion. Thank you for that. Area code 910, last four digits, 5088. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Pastor.
How you feel about that question?
I believe in the death penalty. As far as if you kill someone or many people, I think you should do the death penalty, get the death penalty. So I do believe in it.
Okay. All right. Well, like many of you, I feel the same way. I'm kind of perplexed about it. I know the Bible, like you said, the Bible does say that we should not take life. But then again, you got to remember, I came to a realization about 20 years ago that there is evil in the world. And there are some people who cannot be rehabilitated. There are some people who cannot be integrated back into society. You cannot integrate a mass murderer into society. You cannot integrate a mass rapist into society. You cannot integrate one who enjoys harming others back into society. I don't know whether the answer is to lock them up for the rest of their lives or to put them out of their misery, because clearly these people are going through some mental and emotional problems, being able to be psychopathic like they are and take lives. Now, I'm talking about those who commit atrocities. I'm not talking about people who are found guilty for circumstantial evidence or people who have found guilty just because the police stopped them. I'm talking about folk who have committed atrocities, people who have killed on a mass level. I don't see how you can come back from that. I don't see how a person can be rehabilitated from that. And if they are, would you want them in your neighborhood? Where are they going to work? Who's going to trust them? How are they going to contribute to society? So, again, I don't know whether the answer is to lock them up and spend millions or even billions of dollars to do that. I don't know. I do believe that there is a place for the death penalty. I believe that there is a place for that because murder, as we see here, that God's law, is still considered a capital crime. It is the worst crime that one can commit. It's called a capital crime. It's called capital murder, murder in the first degree. There is no statute of limitations on murder. You could commit a murder 50 years ago, and they can arrest you and try you for it today. So I think that there's a reason for that. I think God placed that there as a reason. Now, we talk about the Old Testament, and we talk about the New Testament. But then you got to remember, Jesus said he didn't come to get rid of the law. He came that the law might be fulfilled. So even he understood that there were certain people who committed atrocities who had forfeited their life, their time to live. And I think that we should look at that from a pragmatic stance sometimes. Because, again, like I said before, I'm not talking about folk who are arrested for minor things or for someone who is found guilty for this or that. I'm talking about someone who has committed atrocities. And when you go into a school, and you shoot a bunch of second graders and a bunch of third graders, that's an atrocity. I don't see you coming back from that. I don't see you making yourself a citizen anymore. So do we just feed and house you for the rest of your life? I don't know whether that's the answer or not. I don't know. I think that we should really look at that individually and look at it on an individual level, and because I do think that there is a place for capital punishment, which is putting someone to death. Now, let me ask you another question. I want to ask. I'm going to go back to Ms. Mangum. I want to ask you this question. In verse 22, it says, "And ye shall have one manner of law, as well for the stranger as well for his own country." You and I both know that the scales of justice can be tipped if you got enough money, influence, or whatever. What do you think about that, Ms. Megan?
I just go along with exactly what it says here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really don't know.
Mm-hmm. I understand. Deacon Taylor.
Number 22.
Beg pardon?
That was number 22, right?
Yeah, verse 22. Where it says, "Ye shall have one manner of law." That means that one law is for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Deacon Taylor, what do you think about that?
Yes, sir. I do believe in and agree with that scripture because if you have different laws from different people, somebody will always get off because of who they know, what they know, or what they have, you know, say money or whatever. And it still happens in smaller cases, but you know, someone from Ireland should have the same laws and rules as somebody here in America, as somebody in Africa. So we all have to abide by pretty much the same streamlined type laws, or this world would be crazier than it already is, and I can't even really imagine that.
Thank you. Sherry, our people have not always received the same law. There's documented evidence now that when white people went to court, they were handed down one sentence, and when black people went to court, they were handed down another sentence. What do you think about that as far as this is concerned?
I do agree, and I'm not just saying that. You know, just because, again, I don't know, you know, I work in the court system and I've seen it. You know, I know every case is not exactly the same, or every case, you know, does have things that vary, but I've seen some so very similar, but the black young man was given that charge, not given that opportunity to say necessarily have a first offenders where they don't necessarily charge you if you go by if you comply with everything that they tell you to, like within a year's time or something like that. And that same white boy was given that opportunity to have that done in his, it could be the same charge, you know. So I have seen it a lot being in the court, and I do agree with that. We a lot of times are just not treated equal. We are given harsher sentences than our white counterparts that may do the same thing.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so very much.
You're welcome.
Area code 609-9126. Who am I speaking to?
Francis Douglas.
Sister Frances, how are you tonight?
I'm good, Pastor. How are you?
Good. I just hadn't recognized you. I got to get your phone number recognized, and I'll know who you are next time you call in. Sister Frances, I want to ask you a question. You know, when we talk about equal law, equal protection under the law, and we're talking about being fair and being just because we serve a fair and just God, if we are not or if we have not distributed equal justice under the law, then that means that we have broken God's law. Am I right?
I believe so, yes.
So what do we do about that?
Well, we continue to fight like we're fighting now for equal justice. You know, and it's not just between white and black. It can be between rich and poor.
Right, right.
You know, and all other types of, you know, nationalities, and there are so many other things that's just not just, you know, in this world, you know, not
right.
just in the United States, but in other countries.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I sometimes feel conflicted, and it's like it contradicts itself, because what is the law based on now, you know, if
that's
it's not
good.
Based
that's,
on religion.
Amen. That's where I wanted to go. I wanted you to see that. I want us to see how far, even though the Old Testament law may seem archaic to us, what are we doing any better? How are we doing any better? You know, one of the problems with equal justice under law in the biblical days was, like you said, it was social classes. People were divided into social classes, the rich, the middle class, and the poor. And it all depended on what you could afford to do. And those who were in poor countries, who were uneducated, who did not have the facility or the infrastructure to get equal justice, many of them suffered simply because of their structural classism that's innate in all countries around the world. There's a class structure in every country around the world, and that class structure has had a lot to do with punishment and justice. Sister Frances, while I got you, Sister Frances, while I still got you there, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. What do you think that means?
Whatever you do to me, I do to you. Whatever you do comes back to you. I mean,
Amen.
If you kill, I kill you.
Okay. It'd be a lot of folk walking around with no eyes, wouldn't it?
That's true.
A lot of one-eyed folk will walk around.
That's true.
A lot of one-eyed toothless folks be walking around. But, you know, the thing is...
well, somewhere it did say if your eye offend you, they say, pluck it out, right?
Right. That's right. I'll go to Deaconess Rainey. What do you think that means? Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Deaconess Rainey? Are you there? Okay. I think what the scripture is saying is that the punishment must fit the crime. I know that we cannot take people's eyes out and teeth out today. But what they are saying, what God is trying to reveal to them and to us, is that the punishment should fit the crime. You know, I look at a lot of people who have gone to jail. I had a buddy many years ago, back in the early 80s, late 80s, early 90s, who got caught with some drugs. I'm not familiar with the weight structure, but I believe it was about an ounce of drugs. This guy got 30 years for that.
Mm.
There have been people who have been caught with less amount of drugs, who have, or I'm sorry, with more amount of drugs, who have gotten less time. I think what God is trying to speak to us about is the fact that punishment has to be done fairly. And I think that's what it means, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. I don't think he really means for us to pluck out folks' eyes and things like that. I think what he's trying to convey is that you don't punish a person too harshly for something that was considered a misdemeanor. And on the other hand of that, you don't let a mass murderer go free or someone who's killed or who has done some terrible things to people. You don't let them folk go free. Now, the reason why I bring that up is because a few weeks ago, I was reading an article where they arrested a young man here in Durham for committing a crime. Come to find out, this rascal got a rap sheet longer than your arm. Why is it this guy has been allowed to even be on the street? So I question things like that. Anybody else question stuff like that? Anybody?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, when you have committed 3 or 4 felonies, it's time to put that person away. I don't think they should take that many. But, I'm not a judge. But then there are people out here who get away scot-free for doing the same types of things, depending on how good your lawyer is. We have to realize today that we serve a God who commands that justice be handed out fairly. Now, here's another thing. Ms. Mangum, do you think judges do a good job? Oh, no, I shouldn't put it that way. Do you think judges interject their own politics and their own feelings about certain things in their judgments?
I would think it has been occasions where some of them have done that.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say that they haven't done that. I think it has been different occasions that they have done that.
There have been a lot of cases where judges have used their own political ideas and their own moral ideas to judge other folks, and we have documented proof of that. That has happened over and over again. So we are not using justice in a manner that is pleasing to God. Even though we are not doing it like it was in the Old Testament, we're not doing it like it's supposed to be in the New Testament either. So we're not just breaking the law of the Old Testament. We're also breaking the law of the New Testament, because in the New Testament, Jesus comes, and thank God for Jesus. Therefore, Jesus sets aside the law in favor of the principle of love, which is found in Matthew 5:38-45. This does not prevent judges from executing their rightful judgment, but it keeps us all from exacting revenge or personal injury instead of forgiving when we just should forgive. There are a lot of times in our lives where we find similar situations. Now, you take this case concerning this young lady, Brittany Griner. Deacon Taylor,
yes, sir.
Do you think that is a political thing, or do you think, because the girl had, from my understanding, she had residue of hashish oil, not oil. She had the residue. In other words, it won't enough in there to do anything. Do you think that's political, or do you think she's just, they're right for just because she broke the law?
Well, it's, number one, it's very and highly political. Situation and case, because Russia is petitioning the United States to release one of their known, very very highly known mafia criminals that we have incarcerated here in the United States. They're trying to use some leverage to try to get that person freed, and this person convicted of capital murder several occasions, and a lot of anything to do with breaking the law. And we have them here in the United States, and they're trying to get that person back.
Right.
Second of all, Brittany Griner. She has played overseas ball for like 10 years during the off season from the what we have here in the United States, the WNBA. So I mean, it's not like she was a total stranger going over there like breaking a law. She's just high profile, and they figured they can use some leverage to get this transaction done. And going back to your other question, yes, mm-hmm. the for example, the Supreme Court, yes, they all they're voted in, and because of certain parties and certain beliefs, and yes, that boils down to what they actually believe, and they will pass certain laws on what they think and believe, and it's not always good for the masses of the people.
That's right. That's right. I can think of three ways in the last 25 or 30 years that the Supreme Court has really sold us down the river. They have not done a good job. They have not done a good job. As a matter of fact, you can't really, since Brown versus Board of Education, you can't really point to anything that the Supreme Court has done that's meaningful, because they everything that they have done has actually hurt America more than it has helped. And I am one who I don't think a person should be a judge for life, but that's just my personal opinion. All right, let me ask someone else that same question, Sister Frances. What do you think about this Brittany Griner case, Sister Frances?
Yes, I believe she's being held for political reasons, to negotiate the release of another criminal that the United States has. That's my strong feeling about that because, like you said, she's been going overseas for the last past 10 years playing basketball, and now she is being held for residue or even a small amount. So I believe it's for political reasons,
right,
and I don't
right.
feel like the her crime fits the punishment.
Mm-hmm. And that's why that scripture, Matthew 5:38, comes into play. Jesus wanted us to have love in our decisions when we talk about punishing people. We don't punish people just to punish them. We punish people to correct them from doing what is wrong. Now, again, I'm not talking about folks who commit atrocities. I'm not talking about those folks. I've already told you what I think of them folks. I'm talking about other people now, people like the Brittany Griners and the folk who have committed, let's say, nonviolent acts. These people have been treated, I believe, by the American court system just like mass murderers, I believe. I believe they, some of them, and it depends on who you are. And do you know, and by the way, and I want to say this, do you know that there are a lot of families who are upset about this Brittany Griner thing because there are people who got people over in Russia who've been locked up longer than Brittany Griner, and nobody's mm-hmm. talking about them. So why is we talking about her? Why does she get all the attention? You know, I agree. I want her to come home too, but I'm just saying there are a lot of families. CNN interviewed one the other night. Their son has been in Russia locked up for over 3 years. Nobody's talking about him, you know. So you know, it is something to think about when we talk about how this how the justice system, and not only in this country, but how we look at justice around the world. The Lord, as I said before, wanted us to have love when it came down to executing judgment. We are to punish people according to the crime, and we should have love for them, knowing that anybody can make a mistake. I started out by saying all of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us are guilty of something. And it may not have been something that was as bad as what other folk have done, but surely they should receive the same type of love in their judgments as anyone else. And I think that's one of the things that has held us back and not allowed us to do according to the will of God. God wants us to have laws. He wants us to pass judgments or judges to pass judgment. But he doesn't want them to do it on a political basis or on a fact that, you know, do you know that there are some judges who don't believe in God? And if you get up on the witness stand and you start talking about how you believe in God, this, that, and other, they'll rule against you simply because they don't believe in God. You know, so we have to guard ourselves against that. And I think that that's one of the things we have to look at as a society when we're dealing with crime and punishment. Because God's justice, even though this Old Testament justice is archaic, at least it had parameters. At least it had certain things that you could do and certain things that you can't do. Today it just seems like it's a free fall. Anybody, any judge, you can get any kind of sentence for anything now. So you don't never know what may happen when you're placed in the hands of your fellow man. This is why I teach young people, and I tell young people all the time, you don't want to be in a courtroom. That's the last place you want to be. You don't want to be in a courtroom. Don't go in a court. Stay out of courts as best you possibly can because you don't know what's going on. When they place your life in the hands of 12 other folk or a judge, you don't know what might happen. You know, I'd rather place my hands and my life in the hands of God than to place my hands in the life of man. So that's what we take away from this lesson. Anybody else have anything they want to add tonight, the lesson? Anyone else?
Pastor Rogers.
Uh-huh. Go right ahead.
Just real quick. and it's very hard to be seen and to be recognized in a society, in a nation with a history of thinking of you as property or less than livestock or less than a human. And mm-hmm. and even though, you know, that's wrong and it still is very deep in this society's thinking. And I mean, even though we've come so far, we have so far to go to still be recognized as equals. But many years ago, I did put something into my son's life, and I'm thankful that it registered with him. He's not been perfect, but and I'm not just here to talk about him, but. We went to the barbershop, and they got these police substations all over this country now. And as we were arriving to the barbershop, they had three black men in the back of a police car handcuffed. And I told my son that morning, that's where you do not want to be. And I thank God I never had to go get my son out of jail or prison or whatever. But mm-hmm. you're right. Our young men, we need to – the courtroom is not where they need to be at because it's always going to be blindly against them in some way or another. But thank you.
Mm-hmm. Does anyone else have anything they want to add? Anybody else? Or let us pray. Our Father, our God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for this Bible study. We pray, God, that as we have studied tonight, let the word seep down into our soul. Let us understand the words that have been spoken tonight. I thank you, God, for those who have been on the line tonight, those who are listening over the internet, those who will hear this Bible study long after it has been recorded. I thank you, God, for another opportunity to come and break the bread of life. We pray now, God, that as we go forward, that we will understand your justice and your mercy, that we will live under the power of your anointing, and keep going forward and treating others as we would like to be treated. We thank you now, Father. We give you all the glory. We give you all the love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless y'all tonight.
Amen.
Have a good night.
Amen.
Thank y'all for
tonight.
God bless. Everyone have a blessed night.
Good night.
Good night.
There's no need to complain about the snowflakes. Oh! There's no need, yeah, to fret or cry when good fortunes, they will always pass you by. He fixes it just like he wants it. You can change what it to be. What's the use of complaining? All of you complaining never, never, never mean a thing. He fixed it long time ago, just like he wanted it. Oh, thank you, Jesus, what it to be. Then sometime you might be riding along the highway and looking your treetop. Let me ask you this. Did you ever hear a little robin sing? Oh, robin sing. God's got so much power. He's singing praise. Yes, the Lord. He fixed it long time ago. Oh, he fixed it before there was a where or when. Yeah. He fixed it long before this world began. Yes, sir. He fixed it way back before there were any elements. Oh, he fixed it. And this is how he fixed it, Beatrice. Just like he wanted. Oh, glory to God. Wanted it to be. Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, my Lord. Oh, stop complaining about the world.